And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Here's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Glovers Cast, the only podcast dedicated to the champions of National League South, Yeovil Town Football Club. I'm Ian. This is Dave.
How nice it is to hear you say that. You've been telling me all season how nice it is to hear it.
Finally. Ben's here too. All right, Ben.
Hello.
You okay?
Think so.
And the voice that
you can do better than that.
Do I have to do better than that? There's nothing more to add.
Are you done, Dave?
Never.
And the voice that described the trophy lift at Huish Park yesterday, Sheridan Roberts. Welcome back to the Glovers Cast.
Thank you. Good evening. Yes, I was told by BBC Somerset that I couldn't get any more champions into a commentary than I did. So I'm going to enjoy saying champions until the new season. Loved it.
I think we're champions until the next team lifts the trophy. I think we can have it for the entirety of next season. I think you're allowed.
Perfect.
Yeah, we will milk it as long as we possibly can, I think.
Because... Correct.
Do you have to do every intro as the National League South champions now? All the way through until someone else's. Okay, right.
Yeah.
We'll hold him to that, folks.
Do you think we should put a star above the Glovers Cast badge?
You're going to have to now.
Just one, though.
Right. This is going to be a bit topsy-turvy because we were all busy on Thursday night. At the absolute decider in Gloucester. David set up camp in Gloucester. I think he'd been there for about three nights waiting for Thursday night.
Queued outside.
Yeah, queued outside. We all did. Well, I don't know, actually, Ben, you might not have queued up outside.
No, I did. Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
All that running wasn't worth it in the end.
Correct.
So Ben committed to making his way to Gloucester on the podcast because he was going to finish work in time. And I think it was about 7:47, 7:48 by the time he joined us.
Yep. I missed about 90 seconds of the actual football, which actually goes sort of, I missed a considerable chunk more of that because couldn't see a damn thing for most of it. So it's fine.
Well, that's what happens when you get there so late, mate.
Correct. And you are quite short. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Problems.
Yeah. Well, me and Dave were thinking, we were looking at our phones thinking, should we text him? Should we call him? See?
We were too scared to ask, to be honest with you. After the voice note we got from you saying that you were in a car park, the M1.
Yeah.
And we just thought, he's not going to make it, is he? He's not going to make it. Or he's going to make it and we'll already be ahead or something, but yeah, it was a relief to see you, albeit bathed in your own your own sweat.
Thanks for painting that picture, by the way. Thank you for that.
You're a very warm man. It was a warm arrival. He came in hot, folks.
What can I say to that? Yes, I spent 3.5 hours driving down the motorway to not watch an awful lot of football and then get back to a car with a whacking great dent in the side of it in the car park. And also picked up probably, almost certainly, 3 points on my driving license on the way back as well for good measure. So 3 points for the Glovers, 3 points for me.
For everyone.
everyone gets 3 points on Thursday nights.
I mean, if you have a word with the National League, they'll probably take them off you, I imagine.
That'd be great if they could. Yeah, or award them to Weymouth.
Yeah. Yeah, extra points for Weymouth, I reckon.
Yeah, I've got they 3 points they can have. They can. Yeah.
That's a topical one. Nicely put in there, Dave. Sheridan, you were there as well on the comms, calling the action as we finally got it over the line. It was a bit of a weird game, though, wasn't it? I mean, we saw the return of Reece Murphy, the return of Michael Smith, and all was good in the world for a little bit.
For 15 minutes.
And no Mark Cooper either at pitch side.
No. So he told me before the match that he was serving a touchline ban for an incident after the Hemel game where famously Charlie Cooper was assaulted on the pitch and there was no decision to be made, just a yellow card. So, he told me that before. So it's just Chris Todd barking instructions at the players. And in true National League South style, the kit was temperamental. And I had to start the commentary on my mobile phone on my own. And then we got connection back. Ian Randall joined in and Murphy scored in perfect synergy. So, stunning. But how much did that opening 15 minutes sum up poor old Reece Murphy? Clinical, great finish. And then goes off injured again. Just so, so gutted for him.
Yeah, it was some header. Good ball in from Charlie Cooper as well. And just, you know, the type of header that sometimes it feels like only Reece Murphy can score them once. And like you said, he goes off injured, but it's kind of like he's done his job. He got the goal, put us ahead. And Truro never really looked like getting back into it at all, given that.
I think after Saturday, it really settled the nerves, didn't it? If there were real, real nerves, it just settled everyone down.
Truro reserves as well, by the way. they had bigger fish to fry before and after us.
Changes from the night before.
Do they even know what their first team and their second team is? Because they've got discussed so many games, they must have just lost count of what their actual first 11, if they had one, was.
I mean, lucky at this level that they could make 10 changes. To be honest,
we couldn't.
No, we couldn't.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have another goalie to put in either, do we?
No. Well, I think all of those things, rubbish kit not working, queues outside the ground, players getting injured on terrible pitches, will add them all to the list of things, reasons that we need to get out of this division. We've got out of this division.
I mean,
still doesn't quite believe, does he?
I still don't quite believe it's happened. Yeah,
until he sees that new league table, until the fixture list comes out, there's always going to be that element of, are we actually going to?
Are we? Yeah. No, I think, Good Friday was the one where it started inkling on me, I think. And I might have had a wobble after Worthing, but no, I'm fully on the believer train now.
I should think so.
Yeah. Honestly, it's 10 years has done something to me.
It's getting a little bit conspiratorial now.
I know, exactly, yeah. Well, they keep saying, what's that coming over the hill?
But like, I'm just now worried. Did I dream the last week?
Maybe we all did. Maybe we'll all wake up tomorrow morning.
Well, in fairness, Dave, the cues for the cues on Thursday were to stop any sort of pyrotechnics getting inside the stadium.
Yeah,
it was well worth it.
All went smoothly then.
The only people I saw carrying pyrotechnics were the stewards that were picking them up off the pitch. So they're also packed down.
Well. It was great. It looked great. Yeah.
I did appreciate after the game the groundsman shouting up at the guys who were sort of lifting pyro aloft. He goes, I don't care if you've got it, just don't drop it on my plastic floor.
Yeah.
Like, it's fair enough, I suppose. Yeah, okay.
And then there was a bit of passing in between the goals. And then there was some passing. The second.
Yep.
Alex Fisher with another important goal just to give us that little cushion and see it over the line. And then I didn't see Dave again once the final whistle went. He was I've never seen a man jump a fence so quickly. He was gone.
I actually impressed myself, you know, as my doctor told me the other week, a man of my age was able to so nimbly get over that. I know there were people far younger than me that didn't choose that method, but yeah, I've had the watches on about my run was caught on camera, followed closely by Ian. I think it looked like Ian anyway. You just casually strolled on to the pitch, like, yeah, this is where I belong. So
Then Ben jumped on my back and had to carry him because yeah, he's, you know, his bad leg that he keeps going on.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. He hasn't mentioned it, not today anyway. But yeah.
Don't do 6 hours of driving with a pulled calf muscle. Bad idea.
Did you feel a strain the following morning? I don't know if we're suffering 3G fatigue, but definitely jumping up and down in that centre circle. I definitely felt it in my hamstrings, which may be a theme, mightn't it? But yeah.
I think it might be more you than the pitch, Dave.
Mm. Well, quite possibly. Yeah. But
Those celebrations were something else, weren't they? And I thought for all of the like pain that the Worthing result was, after all the expectation and hope, there was something a little bit special about doing it somewhere else, away from home, not anyone's home really. And there being so many kids there to enjoy it, and just it felt like, you know, we took over the ground, obviously, but it just felt like it was like you had one of those ones that, you know, in 20 years time 1200 people will be able to say they were there when we won the league in Gloucester in an absolute freak game, freak season. A little bit like all those who were locked out of who is it that we'll be locked out of in the ISIS League?
Enfield, yeah.
Yeah, all those who said they were crammed into there. You know, there'll be some people who've got a story now to tell from that night.
It was such a weird feeling being, you know, the ground was such a weird place to be. So I've never been in the ground where the away fans, quote away fans, outnumber the home fans so much. And so it was just like this air of expectancy and this confidence and this swagger that was just emanating from all over. And you are right, like lots of kids stayed up past their bedtime to be on that pitch and got back probably quite late. But it is a whole generation of people for whom that is the first thing that they'll have for this football club. For me, it was 02 and 03. For some people, it was 05 and 07. For some, it's 13. For some, it's the playoff from behind closed doors that they didn't really get to enjoy. For a whole bunch of people, that's the first. And that's a special thing. And yeah, it was quite a cool moment.
What was your thoughts when the final whistle goes, Sheridan? And you know, you see those celebrations. Obviously, you were in the thick of it afterwards as well, trying to get words with whoever could get out of the crowd to come and speak to you.
Yeah, oh, just it was amazing. And I turned to my right, and just because they didn't, I don't know if you noticed, they didn't put added time up because I don't think they wanted anyone to know when the final whistle was going to go. So we didn't really know how much added time there was going to be. And I looked to my right, and Cooper was getting ready to go down because obviously he was waiting up in the stands, talking, well, hugging my dad. And I thought, oh God, I'm going to go. It's going to make me cry. And then everyone just sort of flooded onto the pitch. And my whole plan was to just wait until I could leave. But we were going to talk for a while about the images that we saw. And it was just, it was elation. Like, it was just, there was part relief. But I actually think the overriding emotion was just elation. And I love that. I love that this has felt so special. None of us wanted to be down at this level again, of course. But it's not made it any less special. In fact, maybe it's even more special. And it just felt like a moment we will look back on. And I just had in my head all the memories, like you said, of 2013. Like, the, you know, the last time we felt this feeling. I think I'd forgotten what it felt like. And to see the players as well, when I did eventually manage to get on the pitch, I had my mic, and all the players did was just give everyone a massive hug, any person that they saw. Like, it was just magical. And the first thing I sort of said to everyone that I spoke to Jordan Young, spoke to Matt Worthington, obviously Cooper, talking about Saturday, I said, would you change it now? And they're like, no, this is now the memory that is going to stay with us. And we won't remember Saturday and what happened there and the drama, because this is now special. And I felt like there was a unique connection that you could get at Gloucester. And yeah, totally bizarre situation that, I don't know about you guys, you had to kind of explain. Yeah, we're playing on a Thursday night, playing not at the ground, even in our division, and we're going to win the league. It's like, it was so bizarre, but it was so beautifully bizarre.
Even the two goal scorers, and we'll get stuck onto it, but Murphy, Tom Bailey asked in the pre-match about how he has nine, number 10 would be special. Number 10 was special. And obviously it was his goal that was ruled out, rightly or wrongly, for offside, but in sort of the space of 4 days, he'd had an entire redemption arc. No one will remember that offside goal, because he's the one that scored the first against
this penalty as well.
And yeah, no one will remember. I'd forgotten it already.
Yeah.
And obviously Fisher, who, I mean, I know we'll go on to his goal against Dartford, but it just felt right that those two were the goal scorers to me. It really did. Short of, I kind of wanted Morgan Williams to get that one at the end with a header. I thought that one might have been the icing on the perfect cake. But if you asked me to pick two goal scorers, I probably would have picked Murphy and Fisher.
Reed.
Yeah, I know I always go on about this 1995, but everybody talks about then. I'm going to go on about it even more now. Everyone talks about that being at that night at Bromley, and that's nearly 30 years ago now. And in 30 years' time, there'll be people saying that night at Gloucester. And it wasn't even against Gloucester, but everyone will remember it as that night at Gloucester. 30 years on, I guarantee you there'll be people talking about it then. So that's how it sticks with you, things like this.
Yeah.
And that carried on in the right trajectory, didn't it? Eventually.
It did. I mean, I think just before we get on to Saturday, I think the stream of green and white that came from the car park, the multi-story car park that we all parked in, not Sainsbury's, on Thursday, and then going back to the car, and like the chants, like everyone chanting from their cars, we were beeping our horns. It was just, it was great. It was such a good evening.
Driving, obviously, we were there really like on the dot, and driving past that pub was a sight to behold. Like, this is not Yeovil. That could have been the Arrow. That could have been outside the club itself in the side of space, but it wasn't. It was in Gloucester to play Truro. It just, none of it makes any sense. And yet it was just green, just a sea of green, and flags hung up and stuff. It was, it sounds strange, but at that moment, I knew we'd win the league. Like, that was the point where I pulled up, I dropped Colin out of the car so he could run in, and you could see this pub, and I knew we'd win the league at that point. I hadn't even parked the car yet. It was just meant to be. It was meant to happen in that way.
And we won the league.
We did.
And then we had a bit of a party yesterday.
I kind of wanted to ask this, because obviously with the Worthing game ending the way it did, it would have been incredible as a moment. But I wondered, as you know, for maybe more for Ian and Sheridan more than you, Dave, because you two were going, but knowing it was going to be a party, that build up, I know it was only 48 hours, but that build up, that feeling of that morning, that must have been a nice buzz in the pits of your stomach throughout the course of that morning, knowing what was coming.
Yeah, I left earlier than I ever do for Huish Park. I was just like, I want to get there. I want to get there. I want to enjoy it. And I think I said this to you on Saturday, that you, when I walked round to speak to Cooper pre-match, and then everyone just beaming. And it was just, that's what we've been missing. There was no nerves, just excitement. And everyone's still talking about Thursday. Obviously, it was just such a quick turnaround. And you know, people that weren't there, like, oh, just, I saw HP Source, I saw the videos, like, it just so exciting, and like just you could just sense that the whole club had a freedom about it, that it was filling up quickly, the music was belting, and the sun came out, which was just perfect. It was wonderful. It was really wonderful, and it was ideal, really, for what you want from a last home game. And we said this before, didn't we? And a complete and utter contrast to the last game at Heroes Park last season, which I do remember being just like, I didn't want to go. You know, you didn't want to go. Whereas I left my house like 45 minutes before I would normally, because I wanted to get there. Complete 360 turn.
Yeah, I think you talk about like that freedom, and we've had 44 extremely high pressure games. Every match this season has been, we need to win because we're Yeovil Town and we're playing either part-timers or, you know, a team that we should be beating because we're Yeovil Town. And it was like the first game where pressure wasn't really on, because even when we played Wrexham in the FA Cup, you know, we were in the middle of our unbeaten run. And it was like, oh, we might actually do something here. And I think there probably was a little bit of hope more than expectation that we might have nicked something there. But this was the first afternoon where it felt like, oh, well, let's relax and just play and enjoy it and have a nice time. The chants were going before kickoff, during kickoff. It was just, like you said, Sheridan, everyone was sort of smiling. And it was just the happiest Hewish Park has been in a long, long time. There was just no nerves, just, yeah, party atmosphere.
Vibe, just vibes.
Yeah. And I can't, I mean, even in, you know, in 2013, you know, that party would have been, once the final whistle goes and you, or once Ed Upson scores, then the party starts. In 05, we hadn't won the league until the game had finished, the last home game as well. So it was kind of certainly the first time since 03 where we've gone into a home game chilled out because it's over and we're champions and we can just enjoy it. And I think the players, I mean, you know, I think the players played like a team that didn't have any pressure on them as well. Some of the stuff that they played was excellent. They did need a bit of a wake-up call, though.
doesn't everyone who's got a hangover?
Yes, yeah, it was a bit like that. I mean, it was a good header from Coulson, but he sort of sneaks in between Monnell and Williams, and the pin drops. And it was like, oh,
was a pin drop moment, wasn't it?
The thing I noticed when I was listening to the two of you on the radio was that, like you say, there was that silence immediately, but quite quickly afterwards, I heard the chant of "We are going up." I think it was broken. Yeah. If it killed the atmosphere, it didn't do it for more than a minute, I don't think.
No, it didn't. It was pretty much straight back up and running. And obviously, Sam Pearson scores, takes out the goalpost, and equalises a couple of minutes later. And after that, it was just one-way traffic, I think.
What do you reckon he saw this morning? Sam Pearson's head or Sam Pearson's ribs?
Ed.
Sheridan.
You think? Right, okay. Drinking wine from the photos I saw. So, that definitely didn't start on wine, I don't think.
He's about as big as a bottle of wine, isn't he, as well?
No.
I think once that goal goes in, we just turned it on, and obviously Dartford were sort of playing for their lives in National League South yesterday, and they looked every bit the team that we did last year when
so we many went down. Really did, we talked about it a lot, didn't we? It did feel like Wrexham last year, like for us, like they were so poor, weren't they? So poor, and nothing was going for them, and we were just clinical, dominant, and I did feel for them because they just had nothing left. They had nothing left in them. Nothing left in their season.
They'd had a horrible run of fixtures as well, hadn't they? Mm-hmm. They played Chelmsford, Worthing, us all in the last five. And if you're down there and then you see that as your final or three of your last five, you're thinking, well, writing's probably on the wall.
Yeah, and they never really offered other than the goal. You know, it was all they had a lump up front who couldn't get anything out of Warnell and Williams like we've seen throughout the season pretty much. Then, you know, Dylan Morgan, who had a great game as well. There was some, he was purring, wasn't he? He was an absolute mood yesterday to make something happen. Lots of little fancy tricks and flicks and scores a great goal on paper. But yeah, a bit of a deflection.
I mean, seeing it on the highlights, it was going wide, wasn't it? I think
that was my sense immediately that it was going to go wide.
And a couple of people on the match report say no, that was definitely his goal because I called it an own goal in the match report.
I mean, the fact.
What do you reckon,
that...
Ben?
Well, I've only seen the highlights, and good luck taking that thing off Dylan Morgan.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
No chance. No chance.
We
no
were saying, but at this level, it's given to him, and that's that. Like, it's not.
if you offered the Dartford defender an OG against his name, he'd probably go, "Nah, you're all right. You're okay, mate. Give it to him instead."
Yeah, I think the fact that it deflected in towards goal and just went inside the post suggests it wasn't on its way to making the net bulge. But yeah, good hit. Caught it well, and the party sort of kicked on even more. And then into the second half, and I was willing Alex Fisher to get his goal after the one against Worthing, which he sort of just grabbed the ball and run back to the centre circle. It felt like he needed a goal that he could actually celebrate in front of the Thatchers, and he had a couple of chances. And eventually, it couldn't have been an easier one to finish.
It's a good finish to stop, because you could snatch at that, and the keeper's flying towards that side of the goal. So to have a half a second of composure to bring the ball down and go round him actually is a nice little moment. Yeah, the actual tapping is half a millimetre away from the line, but it's actually quite a nice little instinctive bit of play to give himself the tapping.
He said after he was tempted to sort of scoop it into the roof of the net, but thought he better make sure.
He almost looked apologetic, didn't he? He kind of like, oh, ever you know so what? Sorry. Ever so sorry to do that to your boy. Yeah.
Nicest man in football. Like,
exactly.
It was like, you know, honestly, I know you're going down.
Speaking to him afterwards, he doesn't give himself enough credit. Obviously, I was like, you haven't just come back and scored goals. You've scored important goals. And he was like, I've just felt bad because the team have just put us in such a good position. I was like, Alex! And it just cemented nicest man in football. And he did. He got quite emotional about that moment. And we sort of, like, we were both looking out to the pitch and remembering that area on the pitch where he suffered that horrific injury. And it was just a lovely moment. And he deserved that in front of the Thatcher stand, and he got the moment obviously at Truro, which was great. And then that's the bit that really got me in HP Source was his celebration, because I couldn't really see it from where I was. And yeah, he's been fantastic since he's come back. And I said to him and to Ewan that I don't think I've known him in this good form, and certainly in terms of minutes to goal, because he's not started too many, has he? So yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Were we saying after, it might have been after the Maidstone defeat, possibly the Chelmsford defeat? I seem to recall a conversation on this podcast where we said, we just need someone to come in and just score five goals, half a dozen goals, just to get us over the line. And he's done that. I don't care if they're tap-ins. But there was a point where, did he get in the way of one against someone?
Maidstone.
And we turned around and said, it's right place, right time. I'm not going to be, you know, if he's in the way, he's in the right place. And for him to then be in the right place five more times, yeah, I'm absolutely chuffed for him. I'm absolutely chuffed for him that he scored those goals, and someone needed to get us over the line, and he's done a fairly big chunk of that.
Well,
I think you saw the reception that he got yesterday as well, like after Sheridan was finished talking to him. People sort of just flooded over to the side that we're stood at and start singing Feed the Fish, and just like... There was, you know, I think there's a genuine say what you want about him as a footballer, but there is genuine like love and appreciation for Alex Fisher at this football club. He, you know, he was part of the team that we came down to, that got relegated from League Two, and you know, went away and then came back and has done another relegation. So you know, he's in the mix with Worthy and Williams in terms of, you know, impact he's had on the football club from his signing the first time round and the day of us playing Manchester United. It's like there's this affection and affinity with Alex Fisher and this football club.
Talking about not giving credit, Ben, give yourself some credit here. You were the one who said at the start of the season he's got an important part to play. I mean, you predicted a goal at Weymouth, I think, but which would have been lovely. But I think if there's a player who's had an important part to play in the closing stage of this season, you can't look further than Alex Fisher, I don't think.
No, yeah, you are right. He has been so important. He just got that knack of being in the right place at the right time, and we needed a bit of that after that little wobble, the Welling Chippenham wobble. We needed someone to be in the right place at the right time, and he's scored 3 goals since then, I think it is. And yeah, I'm genuinely chuffed for him. I really, really am. We should, whilst we're handing out credit, by the way, the only person who amongst us decided in the big season preview that we would top the league is Sheridan. Yeah. The only one of us. All the rest of us said second or third, I think. And Sheridan was like, no, we're going to win this. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Chill your beans. We got this. Turns out we did.
I'm sure Foxy told me that he predicted we'd win it as well.
Possibly, so, yes.
Yeah, I think he might have done, but yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I remember it well because I remember Dave wincing. Wincing.
Yeah, I did. I still winced a little bit when I heard it then.
What are we going to do next year?
I'm sure someone's going to take it off us.
So, Fisher gets his goal. Then we just wait for the final whistle. And there was a attempt at a line to prevent supporters getting past the halfway line. Although I don't know why. I mean, the Yeovil players were down that end, but it was, there was very little they could do to hold back the wave of green and white that came through. And there was a lot of build up before the match saying, you're not allowed to enter the field of play. We can't have the trophy until the field of play is cleared. But yeah, those instructions weren't particularly listened to. And people jumped on it. And eventually, after clearing the masses, we got to see the trophy lift.
We did, but my favourite moment was Ian announcing that the players needed to leave the field, but Sonny Blulo Everton was just jumping up and down on someone's shoulders, just living the dream. And I'm like, I don't think he wants to go down the tunnel right now.
Yeah, it was great. It was, you know, I can understand them not wanting folks to go on there and get the trophy sort of done and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know, it's the done thing now, isn't it? You see it. I don't know. Have you seen the Bayer Leverkusen clip today? Obviously, they've won the Bundesliga, and you've got a fair few more than there were at Gloucester and at Hewish Park yesterday on that pitch. But it was great. It was. Eventually, everyone clears out. All the players are introduced, and it felt like yesterday, like during the game, talking about players who were on the pitch, players who weren't on the pitch. Almost every single player that was there and hasn't been there has got like a story, or there's a bit of credit to all of them who've been part of it. You know, like, you know, Josh Hours comes on and gets, you know, 15 minutes at the end. And for many, he's like one of the most hard done by players in this whole squad, who's played really well, was dropped and never really got back into it. But, you know, all of them have got some sort of credit. Genesini, who's come in and, you know, has replaced Michael Smith and been brilliant, and Volston coming in for Whittle, and you know, Joe Day and Michael Smith coming in have been huge. Wannell Williams, you know, even Jamie Sendles-White wasn't there but scored an important goal at Western Supermare. There's just all of them. Jamari Clark, 2 goals against Torquay, never to be seen again.
Sonny Cox.
Yeah, that's what we said about Clark and Cox. I mean, two braces that we remember really well, like important victories at Huish Park.
We got hands on a trophy, finally.
It's been such a strange sort of season because we've all had worry and trepidation, and we all know what it's like being a Yeovil fan. You can't believe it until you believe it. We've been top of the table since we beat Avely 3-1 at home way back on match day 11.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Match day 45, we get the trophy. We've been top of the table since match day 11.
Yeah. I've had a couple of people say to me when I've been talking about this, you should get out of that division, shouldn't you? And they're right. We should get out of that division with the squad that we've got. But look at Torquay. There's a big difference between you should do it and actually doing it. That's a huge, huge difference.
Scunthorpe in the north.
Yeah, exactly.
They might go up through the playoffs, but they're going to have to go through the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. So,
and Mark Cooper said it yesterday, though, didn't he? Yeah. Since January, we've been out without Murphy and Hyde.
Yeah.
And then we lose Michael Smith. And the quality of players that we've lost. I think he said if we'd, based on, budget, people could say you've got a lot of money, but in some of those games we've played recently, based on budget, we'd be, a bottom 10 wage team because so many of our big players have not been available and not been around. So, I think, credit due to how we've handled that running with the players that we've had available too. I think, Hyde was back on the bench yesterday and he's another one who scored important goals that sort of have helped on this journey this season. You can't look at any of those players and say, well, they've been a bit of a passenger this year or they've not contributed in any way. Will Dawes didn't get his goal or his assist, but when he's come on, we've all been like, Dawes is really good, isn't he? He works hard and a bit exciting, makes things happen and sort of gives teams the heebie-jeebies when he runs with the ball a little bit. And they're all winners, aren't they?
Even Courtney Senior.
Hey, he did all right at Eastbourne. Did all right at Eastbourne, as I remember. The only one I can't remember is Scott Pollock. He must have done something. He's not there anymore anyways. He doesn't count.
Don't worry about him. Even, I know we joke, but we should even mention JMD. And that free kick for Morgan Williams' header.
Yeah. Worthing, yeah.
You know what I mean? Everyone has that little arc. Sonny Cox comes in for a really short period of time. You've got, you mentioned Genesini. Duncan Idenhut didn't do much wrong for 3 or 4 games when he came in, and he might end up getting promoted anyway with Bath. It is really cool. And then you've got people coming in, the ability of Jay Falston just to come in and sit in quite nicely as a Whittle replacement, for Dylan Morgan to come in and just kind of slot in for Sam Pearson to leave Bristol City and take a punt on himself and go come to us and do what he had to do for Ollie Thomas. I mean, what a topsy-turvy season he's had. He's with us. He's not with us. He's at Newport. That's not really gone to plan. He's got a bit of an injury. Come back. You know what I mean? It's everyone's got that bit about them. And I like that. I do like that.
I'll say, Matt Worthington lifting the trophy was a pretty special thing after all he's been through with the club as well, to see him finally get his hands on some silverware and hoist it was wonderful too. I think Mark Cooper told him to come on and stand in the middle of the pitch and he can't help himself. He just ran. Yeah, left wing, right wing, all these balls over the top for him to run onto. And he was clearly struggling. And he was just brought on for the sort of standing ovation that was well deserved. But yeah, I think after all he's been through with the club as well, another one that is great to see finally win something. And he was, well, all of them were certainly enjoying themselves. I mean, did Matt Worthington ever turn up Sheridan to do post match? No, I bumped into him on the stairs at the bar.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw him at the bar.
It was, that, and I think that's another thing that just makes it that little bit more special as well, is all of those players were all upstairs in the bar afterwards with supporters. Mm-hmm. And like, I think everyone feels quite close. Like, you feel close to these players in a way. I know COVID stopped a lot of that sort of stuff, but I never really felt like there was that big affinity with the team up until this point, really. They're so sort of accessible and, you know, good people. And the same for the staff as well, and, you know, the coaching staff and stuff. Like, all very welcoming and very happy when we win.
It was really nice to have Alex Whistle actually up at the press box, because I don't feel like we've spoken to him that much this season, and he's played such an important part. And even on the pitch, I feel like he just goes about his business quietly and just been excellent. And, you know, to sign off an interview with just a loud up the Glovers was just perfection. And, you know, to talk about the fact that he had offers elsewhere, but he believed in this squad. He knew Charlie, he knew Mark, and that was why he wanted to come. And it just feels like, you know, and Mark said it post-match as well, talk is cheap, but they believed what he was saying about getting this squad together. And they've proved that they are more than good enough to comfortably, because you're right, like, Ben, we've comfortably won this division.
How do we feel about him going completely full kit for the lift?
First thing I said to him, I was like, you're in your full kit.
Yeah, Dawes went full kit as well. A few of them did. Ollie Thomas didn't. A couple of others didn't. They did.
Murph didn't, did he?
No. Ours didn't. There was a few of them. I was like, hang on. Hang on a minute.
Okay.
Yeah. And of course, credit does have to go to the owner, Martin Hellier, for, you know, putting his hand in his pocket, buying the club, giving Mark Cooper, you know, the freedom to do what he wants. You know, I'm sure he's made plenty of decisions that he hasn't agreed with. You know, some of the players that have departed this season are sort of, you know, up there in status for a lot of Yeovil supporters. And, you know, Josh Staunton, those, you know, him leaving could not have been an easy one. And, you know, in the end, Mark Cooper's been vindicated for it, but, you know, Martin Hellier has allowed him to do what he said he would do, and is proven that what he said last season, if he was backed and was allowed to manage a football team, he felt that he could do something for Yeovil Town, and boy, has he done it.
Without question. You mentioned Josh Staunton, and we've mentioned others, Jamie Sendles-White and whatever. They're still champions of the National League South. I know it sounds strange to say, but they are, for what they've done whilst they were here this season. But in Josh's case, also for how he represented himself and the football club at the back end of the last season, they deserve a little sort of notion. And I hope they know somehow. I hope they feel it somehow. And you are exactly right. Martin Hellier's come in and he promised that he would make match days better. And he's done that with the cider space. He's done that by the numbers. We topped 100,000 just through the gates of Huish Park for the season. Sixth tier of English football, and 100,000 people came through the gates at Huish Park. And he let Mark Cooper manage a football team. And when that happens, we got a good result out at the end of it. Yeah, credit is absolutely due.
Anything else to talk about from yesterday? How was your night out, Sheridan?
It was good. It was good. Bit ropey today, but all good.
Good. There were some, I think my favourite picture is Mark Cooper with a pair of sunglasses on that says bad bitch on it.
I think he was trying to spell bad pitch, but somehow it got mixed up.
Found him in Taunton. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah, I want to know whose glasses they were. I have to ask Grego whose glasses they were, but yeah.
Yeah. I think we've seen Reese Murphy pouring some sort of liquor into...
I think vodka into...
I was victim of the Reese Murphy pouring Sambuca, it was.
Sambuca.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, so that was fun.
That'll get you.
So, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah. Anything else to go for over yesterday?
It was great.
And fully still deserved.
Big game to talk about on Saturday, right? Or we've got Thursday's podcast to talk about that. The big Dover preview.
Top versus bottom to finish off the national league.
Yeah. The game everybody wants. Yeah. Dave, are you going?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm going. I was there at the beginning, I'll be there at the end.
Are you actually going?
Yes, I am going. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
I tried to buy a ticket, but I don't know where you buy one.
You didn't go yesterday. You didn't go yesterday, but you're going to go to Dover.
I am. It's the same as last time I went to Dover. Well, no, it wasn't. I'm going to see my friend. I've got a friend who lives down that way, so I'm going to see him for the weekend as well. So not coincidentally, admittedly, but
if Yeovil weren't playing Dover, would you be going to see this friend?
I would be going to see him at some point in the summer. Yeah, so
booked it in nice and early.
Yeah. Exactly.
My word. Do we know if there are any like plans to do anything? Like, I presume we haven't. Are we getting a bus thing? I don't think we're doing a bus thing. Tamworth haven't done a bus thing.
Didn't you book it last April?
But then we got the refund, didn't we? We lost against Hebron and I got the refund.
Yeah, cool.
See what you can sort out.
Yeah.
Open top bus insurance.
Yeah.
Lose it. Not, we'll just win free refund.
We'll just take it on the first bus. What's the number between Taunton and Yeovil? Is it the 30? Get Barry's coaches.
Why from Taunton?
Don't know.
Have you got the number of those lads from Chesterfield? They get insurance for everything, don't they?
They've got insurance.
Yeah, they must have insurance for that, surely.
Yeah. That's what paid for this promotion.
Global pandemics and cancelled bus open top buses. Yeah.
Should we do some questions?
Might as well.
Yeah.
Okay. YTC analysis.
I was going to say, if you're looking on Twitter, you're going to have to look on Sheridan's repost as well, because I think more questions are coming through there than anywhere else.
I'm on the hashtag. If it's not got a hashtag on it, it's not getting asked. Right. Who is actually, this is from YTFC analysis, so who is actually capable of knocking Nuble off the ball when he gets running with the ball? No one.
Adi Bayo Akinfenwa.
Nope. No chance.
Only if you trip him over from behind, like one of the Dartford players had to do yesterday. In the most cynical trip you'll ever see.
Yeah, the answer is a braver person than me, that is for sure.
Correct.
Who joins Chesterfield in the EFL and who do we want to go down?
There's a part of me that could not care less.
I have to take a look and see which teams are in the North of England.
I'm probably not going to go to Barnet, so they can disappear. That's fine. I don't want to go back to Boreham Wood. They can go down. It's four very southern teams going down again, by the way.
Yeah.
And the National League North next year is going to be the largest travelling regional division the country has ever seen. But yeah. Barnet can go up. Boreham can go down. There you go.
Don't want Boreham to go down.
Why?
It's a South game.
Yeah, but that's not what I want.
I watched Grant Smith drop it on Matt Worthington's head.
To be honest, if it's not Boreham Wood, it's probably Ebbsfleet, and that ain't very northern. And Woking, that ain't very northern either. And then you're into York Wealdstone, and you're not having Fylde. I need that one. Give me that one.
You can walk to that one.
Exactly.
I really don't want the sideshow of York City next season.
Tough. They're safe.
It's the game that no one wants, isn't it?
I hate to break it to you. That will be the first. York away is the opening day of next season. Sorry, but it just is. There's not a lot we can do about it.
Another one with Forest Green basically down. Does that mean a Boxing Day Cooper Derby for the Coopers? I called it El Cooper Co. yesterday. So there we go. That's it.
Could play for the Cooper Cup, but I think he's an NFL player, Cooper Cup.
No idea.
Go on.
looking at the division, I can't see anybody else that even comes close, can you?
I am calling it Bath get promoted with us, and they are the Boxing Day, New Year's Day doubleheader. We'll play Forest Green on Easter Monday.
Nice.
After his Alex Fisher prediction, who would you would bet against him, mate?
Correct.
Mystic Barrett.
Big Ben.
What?
It's closer to Meg, isn't it, then? Andrew Allen. Cooper said he wanted another 5 or 6 quality signings for next season. Do you agree? And if so, what sort of positions would you like us to sign? We need to sign a goalkeeper.
Yep.
We need some backup centre-halves, I would say.
But
I'd quite like us to sign the actual keeper we've got now.
Yes.
If we can just keep him, that's a tick in the box. I am expecting some outgoings. You'd expect JMD. You'd expect Linton, probably. So I think something in the attacking department will probably need to come in just to bolster ranks, even if you keep the ones we've already got.
Yeah, because we wasted a lot of chances yesterday.
Yeah, I think you need another front man.
Yeah,
definitely need someone up front. I mean, I would not be surprised if that's the last. Well, you know, Saturday might be the last we see a Jake Hyde, but I'm not sure whether he could stay on. And it hurts me to say it, but I wouldn't be over. I know he said on Thursday that he'd like to stay on, but I don't know about Reece Murphy. I mean, you'd keep him if you thought that you could get enough games out of him, but I just don't know whether he might stay on.
I think he might have been.
I think that felt like a goodbye from Alex Fisher.
Did it?
As well.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Surely he's played his way into another deal. 5 important goals at the back end of this season. Surely he's played his way into having some thoughts.
I don't think so.
Not even out of a sentimental sort of thought process.
Mark Cooper strike you as a sentimental kind of
manager. I'm saying not sentimental. As a pure footballing output. He scored some massive goals.
Going into the division above, I just don't think so.
I think he's found his level. I think he's a good National League South striker, but I think we need,
It's going to be and we don't need to talk about this yet. Obviously, we're going to enjoy being champions, but it's going to be tough in the league above. We're going to be facing full-time teams every single week. It's so much more professional. We're going to have, Mark Cooper said it yesterday, we're going to play a lot more football. We're going to have to play a lot more football. Like, it's just, it is going to be a jump, and we can't be in the situation we're in last year. We've got to be comfortable in that division. We just have to be. That is going to mean some ruthless decisions from Cooper.
I don't think Ebbsfleet particularly changed their team when they walked this division last season. And they've struck, well, they look like they might just stay up, but they're only just going to stay up. Mm. So, yeah, it definitely feels like we need additions and omissions before next season starts. But as Sheridan says, let's not think too much about next season just yet.
Paul Strange, in all your years of following Yeovil, how do you rate the Gloucester experience? I went and had the perfect away day. Trip up, staff, food, ground, all great. And that's before we even get to the result and celebrating on the pitch.
I had a terrible day.
apart from Ben's view.
I had a terrible day. As a footballing experience, it's one of the worst I've ever had. I wouldn't change it for the absolute world, by it.
Still sweating now.
Worst day of my life. Wouldn't change it for the world.
As a footballing experience, if you try to explain to somebody that you drove for 3.5 hours, didn't really watch a lot of the 90 minutes, forgot to have anything to eat, drove 3.5 hours back with a new dent in your car and a letter coming from the DVLA saying, here you go, that'll be a lovely fine, please, good sir. Chances are that's not going to rank very highly on for a Thursday. And I had to work at 8 a.m. the next morning. It's not a high-ranking Thursday. Wouldn't change it for the world. Great company, great feeling. really enjoyed putting the world to rights with Colin in the car on the way home. It was brilliant. I absolutely loved every second of that really rubbish day.
It's the fourth Thursday thing that gets me.
I quite like the fact we play on a Thursday, so we've ticked off all 7 days of the week. That's just that's a nice little side note to this season. Yeah, Gloucester was terrible. Hated every second of it. And then on Saturday, I just sat at home feeling sorry for myself with a massive amount of FOMO. Like, I just don't want to be here. I want to be at Hewish Park. And I wasn't, and I couldn't be. It was very, very strange. And again, wouldn't change a damn thing. Loved every second of that FOMO. It was brilliant.
Distant Glover, Alex Russell. I went to an Underworld gig on Friday night and I realised I was singing Champions Again along to at least two of their songs. How stuck in your heads has the chant been since Thursday?
Yeah.
Still there. Still in my head.
Whistling all day. The time.
Yeah.
I drove all the way up the M5 and the M6 on Friday, I think it was, singing it. And then today, all I've been singing is We Are the Champions in my head. So I think I've just listened to that far too many times on various different YouTube social media posts. There you go.
I got to hear the montage from Thursday night with Sheridan over the top of We Are the Champions. It was, and then she started talking to me live on air, and yes, it was like the Sheridan show yesterday.
I'm sorry, it took so long, didn't it, to get the trophy presentation. That's just my voice was far too long.
Yeah, that was a good half an hour after the final whistle and longer. Just and there's lots of people on the pitch now, and they're just trying to get them away, and we're just waiting. And
then Ian, can you leave because we've got Alex Whittle here?
Yeah. More than happy to depart for Alex Whittle. Wonderful stuff. Mr. Pro Pilot, any favourite moments from the trophy lift on Saturday? Worthy.
Yeah.
Worthy lifting it.
Just worthy.
I don't know. That was brilliant. But that picture of Morgan Williams just sat in the changing rooms, eyes closed, drinking it all in. If anyone has deserved it for the last few years since he's been at the club, it's Morgan Williams, isn't it? So there's those little moments. I've loved seeing the different pictures. I've loved seeing the professional ones. I've loved seeing the ones from Gary. Gary's are brilliant. If you haven't seen them on our website, please go and check them out. I love seeing the ones of their individual families that they've shared on Instagram. It's just like everyone has their own little moment with a trophy, and you know, it's a team thing, but individually they've done it for their own individual teams, their families, their friends, their loved ones. It's brilliant. Those things are brilliant.
This is also from Mr. Pope. Why do we think we got less people at the trophy lift than the Torquay, Weymouth and Taunton games? Travelling fans.
Away fans, yeah, surely.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tom Knowles, don't fall in love with footballers. Contract is up in the summer and I believe we have the money. Bring him back. I think if we sign Tom Knowles in the summer... We are punching well above our weight and on our way to National League glory.
I say we'd all bring him back, but it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. Last seen playing wing back at Walsall, and I don't want Tom Knowles playing wing back.
I don't want anybody playing wing back.
Yeah. Alex Evans, firstly, a big shout out for the phenomenal coverage this season from Glover's cast and Sheridan Robbins. They're saying nice things about us. Thank you, Alex.
People were saying nice things about us on the pitch at Gloucester. That baffled my mind. We were enjoying this incredible moment. Everyone was celebrating and people were coming up to us going, just want to say thanks. Just want to say we loved it. I'm like, this is go and enjoy that. Don't worry about me. I'm just an idiot. Go over there and enjoy that.
How many goals did you score this season?
You didn't
even get a vital 5 or 6 at the end of the season, did you?
Didn't. The square root of jack shit for me, mate. Trust me.
All he got was a sore calf.
3 points.
And 3 points.
Yeah, 3 points.
Saturday is now a real memory for my son Thomas, who's 6, nearly 7. Wow. Is a return to the EFL and staying there by the time he starts big school realistic. So,
what's that?
The same age as Freddie. Freddie's in year 2, so 3, 4, 5, 6. four years of school.
We're gonna do a stop.
Yeah, court. We have to believe, don't we? We're gonna. It's all momentum. We'll be League One by then. League One by big school. That's the challenge.
By big school.
And Robin Batchelor, Ben was totally vindicated in his prediction that Fish would play an important role before the end of the season. He got. We need a striker to hit form. Do you think we will look to extend him and Murphy to be part of our striker options for next season?
Even firstly, even a broken clock is right twice a day. I know we've touched on it before, but I'll say it again. I would like them both to stay. That's all I can add at this point.
There we go for Twitter. Dave, have you got Facebook open?
I've got Facebook, yes. So a few here that are fairly similar, so I'll bunch all those together. But I'll start off with Michael West, he of the YTFC Heritage Society. Out of all the games this season, what was the game or moment that you thought we could actually win this league this season? Mike's was the 3-1 win away at Torquay earlier in the season. I think mine was probably the 2-0 win over Truro Gloucester.
Unbelievable.
I'm not sure I'm even joking either.
I don't think you are. I think that's...
No, I don't think I am. No.
I don't know if it's like when I thought we were going to win it, but I look back as it being really important, and when is the 2-1 over Worthing. I just thought we're one of those teams now that we've been pegged back late on, and we're still going to win. We're still going to nick this somehow. Yeah. And I know it's back in October, so super early, but that one just sticks in my mind. I thought they've got that spirit. They've got that never say die attitude. And I just thought, this is a team that looks like it's going to go on and be capable of winning the league.
I look back at that Torquay one, and that was a sort of stake in the ground. And also the Avely one, where we just blew them away in the first half. And it was like, yeah, the small team just got promoted. But they were doing all right at the time. And, there was a little bit like, they're all right. And I think that one for me was like, we are miles better than, they're an informed team and we are comfortably better than all of them. And I think so many games this season were sort of arm's length defending. We looked comfortable, confident for most of the season. And I look back at that one and probably Bath away. Williams getting that late goal. We played terribly and managed to nick it late on. And, that was like sign of a winning team and all of that, isn't it? When you play badly and manage to get results still.
It was early, but it was Torquay away for me. Off the back of that Weymouth Braintree doubleheader that was all about momentum. We broke the record, local derby, Braintree was the pink day, and we'd raised a buttload of money and we'd all done that. And then everyone kind of takes a sharpie, take a breath and goes, oh, Torquay away next. And we just ripped them a new one. I know they were going through stuff, but at that point I just went, well, we've done it on the big stage. We've done it in the big games. That was the game we all looked at the start of the season and went, get a result there. Yeah, for me, it was Torquay away.
Nick Knight says, is Mark Cooper bang on the money with his...
The cricketer.
I don't know if it is the cricketer. No cricket, just a picture of Hewish Park over a beautiful sunset on his profile. So I'm going to guess not the cricketer. Nick Knight. Not the cricketer, says, is Mark Cooper bang on the money with his post-match comments describing the National League as a shambles for determining the Weymouth game as a home win and not a rematch? Like Cooper, in my opinion, that is Nick Knight, again, not the cricketer. In my opinion, a true winner isn't happy with potentially 95 points when the game is incomplete. And it could have been 98. It also unfairly lifts Weymouth out of the fight at the bottom.
I think the National League is a shambles for a whole bunch of reasons. Yeah. And that is just one of them.
Yeah. The timing was just ridiculous, wasn't it? Oh, we won the league. Like, yeah. It was just so obvious. Yeah. Like,
and there were so many options they could have played it. There was no reason for them not to have played it. Weymouth have your points and have the asterisk that goes alongside it. We were coming back into that game. We may have equalised. We may have won. We may have lost. You'll never know. We'll never know. And we'll not have to worry about you again for a very long frigging time. So don't worry about it.
He was not happy about that, was he?
We were like shocked, weren't we? We were like, we're all celebrating. And then suddenly it was like, boom, the National League.
he can't help himself. But yeah, it is a shambles.
Nick Knight, still not the cricketer, also asks, are we all going to Taunton on Tuesday night? Torquay could stand a good chance of going down if they fail to win.
It's a massive game, that. Huge. It's the two teams either side of the relegation zone, isn't it? Taunton against Torquay. Yeah, huge. No, we're not going because I'd quite like them both to get relegated.
It's a long way as well for me, yeah. So I don't know too much. Tim Hubble asked,
I don't wish ill on either team particularly. Like, I think, yeah, better for the local area if teams like Torquay and Taunton are, you know, doing well. Like, imagine Torquay. I mean, I don't even know what the next league down is, but imagine if Torquay do go down and play even more regionally. Like, it's ridiculous for a club with those facilities to be in this league, let alone a league lower.
Yeah, I think Torquay probably suffered quite enough already. I don't think I'd particularly want to see them suffer anymore. Okay, Colin Redman of Ben's passenger seat fame asks, who would you like to survive in the National League, Borehamwood or Ebbsfleet? I think Ian wants Borehamwood and Ben doesn't. So Sheridan, it's down to you. Borehamwood or Ebbsfleet?
I'd have to say Borehamwood because it's close to my family's house and I really like Luke Garrard.
He's not going to be there.
He's leaving, isn't he?
He's off. He's gone.
I know, but if he can keep them up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Done over the past few years, I think it would be amazing.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say
amazing that they're down there, really, isn't it?
After all,
yeah.
And I know you're all going to go, oh, Aldershot, but they beat Aldershot 3-0. And Aldershot have been doing well this season.
You know.
Do you follow them?
Yeah, exactly. That's the other game I've been to.
Second team he goes for. Like.
Exactly, yeah. I wouldn't travel to Dover to watch Aldershot, I promise you.
Lies.
But I'm going to say I hope Ebbsfleet go up because there is a song about a pub in Ebbsfleet, which is often sung. And I know a lot of people would like to go back there. So there you go. Dean Halliwell, for the final game, would you give any of the young lads a taste of first team football? I think the likes of Benjani and Bateson are on registration, joint registration, so could play. Mr. Lone Watch, is that correct?
Oh, is that me?
That is you. You are Mr. Lone Watch.
I believe it is with Bateson. I'm not sure about Benjani. I don't know, is the honest answer. I would love to see them given a chance, but it's more a case of who's available and who's going to go. And it's a strange one, that game. Really strange. A very strange dead rubber. Neither team will be in this division next year. It couldn't matter any. Can we give them the 3 points?
That's what me and Phil were talking about.
Just suck it off.
Like, why are we travelling 5 hours to
Judging more by Mark Cooper's post-match comments, I don't think he's going to give anyone any points.
I actually think it's more of a. I imagine we'll see more of Josh Hours and if Will
Jake Dawes, Hyder play.
Jake Hyder, Will Dawes if he's fit, like those kind of players rather than Charlie Bateson and Benjani, I would have thought.
Yeah.
And final question: Lee Riggs asks, "Who would you like to see come up from this division with us?"
Bath.
Yeah.
Worthing.
Yeah.
Because we love watching Ollie Pearce.
I want to see how many tap-ins he can score in a real league.
Well, Lee says anyone but Maidstone, and I think I'll go with that.
Yes. Yes.
Agreed.
The Burberry Army can stay where they are.
Well, it's taken 4 years of the Glovers cast, and we're finally talking about a team that has won a division. Well done, everyone. We finally got a league-winning team to talk about. And
shout out to your Photoshop of hanging Worthy in the trophy in the loop, because that was superb.
Well done, Ben. He's our Photoshop wizard, aren't you, Ben?
So good.
It's the first thing I've contributed all season long.
Yeah, he's like Princess Kate editing pictures, Ben. our city editor.
On to Dover.
On to Dover.
Yeah, actually, I shouldn't say negative things. Please listen in, because I'm travelling all that way. Please listen to BBC Radio Somerset.
We will. Of course we will. We know there's another game.
And with a quick turn, the skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest backpedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Manon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott.